Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yo, yo, what up, everybody? Chris Sims, Unbuttoned Podcast. We're back in action. It's Thursday. It's July. I hope everybody enjoyed Tuesday's podcast with Aaron Rodgers. It was truly, it's the biggest superstar I have ever interviewed in my short media career. Truly awesome. Hope everybody enjoyed that. Now, today we got heavy hitting stars once again. And honestly, Steph Curry, we're going to Steph Curry today. He was the biggest star I had ever interviewed, okay? Until later on that day, I got Aaron Rodgers. So I literally got the two biggest interviews of my media career life on the same day. It was truly special. But today, we got guys that, it's the non-football guys podcast, okay? It's Steph Curry, one of the greatest players in NBA history. We got Charles Barkley coming up a little later. And then I got my old buddy, David Wells, pitcher for the New York Yankees and a whole bunch of other teams. I don't care about all those other teams. The Yankees are the only one that count for me. But we go way back, like four flats and a Cadillac, and we had a lot of fun times together. I can't tell you all the stories, but we reminisced about a few stories, so stay tuned to that. But first is Steph Curry, okay? Such a special dude, greatest three-point shooter of all time, one of the greatest NBA players of all time, doing special things. And I got a chance to talk to him about a whole lot of stuff. About growing up underneath Del Curry, his responsibility as being a role model, and some things that were, you know, currently in the news as far as the state of the NBA and the league and the Kevin Durant situation. But man, Steph Curry, I'll say this, observing him from the outside, it just doesn't seem like you can get any nicer, especially a guy that's a superstar like this. So without further ado, here's Steph Curry. Hope everybody enjoys.
Damn. You don't fold under pressure, huh?
Nah, yeah. I don't like that.
It's not like the NBA Finals out here?
I might miss a three, but you know, I make more than I miss.
Seriously, do you ever get like nerves in this kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
100%. There's I think the first time I played in this, I was after my rookie year. I think I like blacked out for three straight days.
Did you?
And then came to after it was all over.
Right.
I've played in a web.com event too, and same type of vibe. It took me about to like the 12th hole to really kind of let loose. And
yeah, and then finally,
basketball is more fast paced, and as you know, like
you're just reacting.
Yeah, I can flow in the game. Out here, it's like I got to stand over ball and think.
Yeah, right. It's a field goal kicker when you're out here. That's what I always say it to. First off, thanks for doing this because like this might be the coolest interview I ever did, man. I'm on fucking Steph Curry, okay? There's so many things I want to ask you. I mean, I knew you grew up as your dad playing just like me.
Yeah.
First thing is, I'm just interested, like, you play golf. How many rounds are we going to play? Like, you going to go all summer long where you play casually?
I play in the summer probably three times a week, sorry.
Right.
I do have three kids and a beautiful wife, so I don't play as much as I used to, but it's always my kind of like getaway from basketball.
Yeah.
Just to be outside, like you said, we're out here in Lake Tahoe playing golf and chilling. But during the season, we play once or twice a month.
Okay.
So I heard Larry Fitzgerald plays like 300 rounds a year.
Is that right?
I'm trying to be like him.
Damn.
One day I want to be like him.
Well, all right. So when do you get back into your, when do you get back into like basketball routine? I'm going to start getting in the gym and shooting and doing all that.
I think, you know, in today's game, you're always in it.
Right.
Just your routine changes.
Yeah,
so
right.
So even after the season, it's more of a mental like refresh and doing stuff to, you know, let the body recover.
Right.
So I'm in that right now. And then in about a week, middle of July, I'll start getting back in like in the weight room and type of stuff.
Yeah.
And a little after that, I'll get back on the basketball
court. You get back on the basketball. So you take a break from the basketball court for a little bit.
Yeah, just how many games we play
a
year. And, you know, over the past 5 years, obviously with five straight finals, that's almost an extra
season.
Yeah. Some change.
So, right.
Got to make sure, you know, play to the longevity that I want in my career.
Do you feel like a pressure or like anything from the fact like you've opened up to this, you're like this savior for this new generation of like my little boy, okay? He knows he's not going to be 6'8 and have like a 40-inch vertical. I already told him.
Right.
Okay. Right? I said it's not going to happen. You're not going to be like LeBron. That's not happening. But you've given like another generation of kids hope, like as far as, man, if I can just work and be like Steph Curry and dribble and shoot and do all that. Do you feel almost like a
100%, I think,
responsibility there?
I've always had a responsibility just for how I like carry myself, how I play, attitude, all that type of stuff.
You're amazing at it.
I mean, obviously nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes and do whatever, but in terms of understanding that there are kids, like when I was playing, when you were coming up, that you can look up to, being in that position is surreal, but I respect it and try to nurture it. Outside of that, I don't try to do anything different, normal or abnormal. Then I'm, you know, just try to be myself.
Try to be
but
you.
In terms of like how I play on the court,
right?
Like you said, shooting is universal. Everybody can pick up a basketball and do this.
Yeah,
it might not look pretty, but they can try it.
Yeah, and that
everybody
shoot
can
like
go
you
to
as
a
much
10.
As they practice, but
not everybody can go to a 10-foot hoop and, you know,
yeah.
like you said, try to dunk and do all that type of stuff.
Right.
But just you got to work at it. That's
like
everything.
If you go in the gym for a workout, like how many shots are we throwing out? Like if it's like, okay, it's getting close to season, it's late August, September.
That's about 500 makes, but that comes in all different varieties in terms of, you know, just
mid-range,
regular spot
short,
shots or off the dribble. We get really creative with our workouts in terms of trying to just experiment.
Yeah.
Because that's how I play.
Yeah.
With the like creativity in mind and trying to not let something I do for the first time happen in a game.
Right.
But muscle memory takes over when you shoot that many shots, and any great shooter, you know, Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, my dad, my coach Steve Kerr,
they
all know the same kind of vibe. It's just can you be consistent with it?
When did you know as like so my, when I was growing up, you know, I wanted to be a quarterback, and you know, I knew I had talent and all that, but I remember my dad, like my freshman year, freshman year in high school, he's like, oh, Christopher, you throw it as hard as, you know, blah blah blah, starting quarterback in the NFL already, and I was like, oh, whoa, okay, I'm that good, like. When did you know, oh, like, I can really shoot? Like, I'm a next-level shooter, or I have a chance to be something.
The shooting part was when I was nine, because that was the only reason I was on the team. I was a zone buster, so every time somebody would put a 2-3 zone, they'd pull me off the bench and, like, shoot them out of it. Then I go right back to the bench. So I knew, like, that was a skill set of mine that I had, and I was confident in it.
Right.
But in terms of, like, any type of vision that this level would happen was not until college, where you know, you play in a tournament, you play against, you know, all those big time schools and small school at Davidson that we had, and we compete and play well. That's when you start to really build that.
That's when you knew you
confidence,
could,
and then you know, in the NBA, you kind of redefine yourself a little bit.
Right.
That's my partner just hit a great shot.
Way to go, partner!
Come on, good shot. Love to continue this interview after I hit this beautiful
Don't worry. Go ahead. We're watching. Do your thing.
I like it, though. So that's a good miss.
Yeah.
It's a way better miss than I used to have.
Good miss?
Great miss.
One of the things I find funny, like, in all sports right now, because of free agency, but, you know, everyone's, oh, Iguodala's mad at this, you know, there's beef and, like, all this thing. I mean, I saw you just on the practice range with Iguodala. Like, it's just funny how the fans kind of make it more than...
Well, there's great storylines, and the NBA is so popular right now in terms of, because of so many personalities, guys changing teams, and that's great for the league, I think, in terms of making it, you know, an all-year-round deal. There is a little, as my coach would say, a little soap opera vibe where stuff gets blown out of proportion yep. and social media gets a hold of things. But I like where we're at in terms of guys. You know, obviously the talent level and the skill level all across the league is what it is, but there's some personalities that don't mind getting out there.
Is it weird for me to say that I'm going to root more for you now that KD's gone? And it's not even personal against KD, but it's like I almost was like at times like, gosh, this is unfair. You guys are so good.
Nah.
And now I'm like, now I'm almost like, oh, good. I can root for the Warriors again.
That's what winning does, right?
Right.
I like that conversation.
Yeah,
where,
okay. I bet you do.
Where people feel that way about us as a team. Obviously, you know, we're a different team now, but yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's you guys are one of the most special teams I've ever seen. All right, were you, like, give me, like, the real, like, because I know I'd be pissed if I had to take a flight from Shanghai to New York.
That's where I say it gets a little soap opera-ish right. where it's not that big a deal in terms of going. 15 hours is a long time in the air, but in terms of just, again, free agency is crazy. And
is it true, like, you literally found out on the, like, going down on the plane, like, did you find out that he had made the decision, Durant, to, like, go with the Nets?
It all happened the way it was supposed to happen. The guy making a decision, and for us, like, that's what I told him when I met with him. Everybody's gonna try to nitpick and break us down and kind of devalue what we accomplished the last 3 years.
Right.
Can't really play into that. We did some special stuff. He's moving on. We're still gonna be brothers.
Yeah.
And part of that is, like, that's how you, you know, that's the stuff you remember when you look back at what we were able to accomplish.
I realized the bond was strong, I feel like, this year in the playoffs, just the way Kevin was in the locker room waiting for you guys, or when he got hurt, you would walk in the tunnel with them. Like, that's when I was like, okay, this is really real.
I mean, when you're playing in those type of environments and games where you're in the finals, and you want everybody healthy, and it's tough when they're not, but you do it together. And the amount of time that we invest into that journey,
right?
It gets emotional at times, and that's part of it.
How long does it take you to get over, like, a loss?
I mean, it's always tough. I'll always think about it and remember it, but in terms of just being able to move on, like,
you're not waking up in the morning thinking about it.
I'm not tormented
right?
by it at all. I would have loved to have won, but, you know.
Yeah. You'll be back.
It is what it is.
All right, we'll leave you alone
for a
second.
All right,
here we go. All right, so the last thing I want to do with you, anonymous locker room stories. I've been going around asking guys about crazy, like, I had a story of a guy pouring hot soup on another guy because the guy always throws soup on you, I mean, throws soap on you as you walk out of the shower.
Oh, yeah.
And you go in, so one of the players warned, like, you do it again, we're fighting. And he did it again a few days later, and he come back with a hot bowl of soup and bumped on his head, and they fought. You got any good locker room story? You don't have to call anybody out, where you just go, like, that is unbelievable that happened.
I had a vet, actually, it happened to me.
Right.
I was a rookie.
Right.
I had my phone, you know. Mind you, I'm dating my now wife at the time. I'm going on a road trip, so I need my phone. I would stay in touch and whole deal. And he knew that. I gotta go up here.
Got an interview right now.
What's up? What's up? What's up? I'll get you in a second. Huh? Oh yeah. And
so the vet did this to you?
Vet did it to me. So we're about to leave. We finished practice. We're headed to the airport.
Right.
And he knew, like, where my phone was. And he knew I always put it in this little pocket in my backpack.
Right.
And so I had to practice. I go get in the shower, put my phone in there. We're kind of late, so I'm hustling.
Yeah.
He knows after I get out of the shower, I'm probably not going to grab my phone.
Right.
Takes my phone, locks it in this in his locker. I don't know what the code is.
Yeah.
I get all the way to the airport and realize I don't have my phone.
Damn.
I get off the plane in Oklahoma City. Not only did he make me leave my phone at home, so I had to go to the store to get another one, he sent me on a 2-hour errand run to go get video games and snacks.
What?
And
that's not even
this
funny.
This is before Uber or Lyft. So I'm in the taxi.
Yellow
cab straight and pay for everything. I mean, that's just a headache just because I feel like it's so unnecessary.
Right.
There hasn't been anything embarrassing or anything like over the top in our locker room besides a guy putting one of our rookies' cars on blocks. And then hiding the tires
all over the facility.
So
that's pretty good.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I used to have to carry Warren Sapp's bags to his rooms. He'd throw a 20 on the floor. and I'd pick it up every time. I'd have a can of Skull on me, but he called me his road hoe. That's what he would call me.
I got you.
Yeah, so that's not appropriate, yeah. I understand, but that's what he called me.
It's not PC, but that's a nickname. You gotta own up.
He called me road hoe, or it was one of the two.
It's 2019. I know.
We might have to cut that. We're not sure if that'll make it. But, hey, thanks for your time.
Yes, appreciate it.
Good luck. Keep kicking ass, man.
Thank you very much.
There you have it, Steph Curry. I mean, hey, that was like one of those surreal moments when I first started the interview and I was walking down the fairway. I just was like, holy crap! I mean, it truly hit me. I was like, I'm walking with Steph Curry, and we're talking and talking ball. I just can't say enough about the human. I really enjoyed being around him. Man, is his swing silky smooth on the golf course? The ball explodes off the club. I mean, it really does. I was about as impressed with the way Steph Curry swung and hit the ball as any other superstar I saw at the Lake Tahoe event. But really cool. Big thanks to Steph Curry. And I mean, I don't know. I thought that, you know, anonymous locker room story was borderline mean what they did to Steph Curry right there. But we had some good chuckles and good luck to Steph Curry. Hope everybody enjoyed that. Now we're going to another guy that I've known since really I was a young kid. Oddly enough, met Charles Barkley for the first time out at Lake Tahoe at the golf tournament out there when my father was playing back in 1991, 92. And Charles Barkley, I got to say this, just always keeps it real. And he's a huge sports fan. I know he pays attention to my work. It's one of the first things he brought up when I saw him on the driving range, asking him if it was okay if I followed him around for a hole or two. But really a guy that in a lot of ways, you know, I don't want to say I completely model my career after, but I just want to say somebody that I really appreciate and respect in the media business. Not only does he give great knowledge of the game, but he's not afraid to say things that are unpopular or criticize players. And, you know, honestly, if you want to be successful in this side of the media business, you got to have thick skin, almost as thick skin as when you played the sport. But got a chance to walk around with big Charles Barkley, who just had two hip replacements. And, of course, I couldn't wait to see Charles's ugly swing, but man, he's made some improvements. He was kind of smooth out there, too. I mean, smooth for Charles Barkley, not Steph Curry smooth. But here we go. Here's my interview with Charles Barkley. Hope everybody enjoys it.
All right, first off, thanks for doing this.
No problem, my brother.
You the man. I mean, I've looked up to you for so long.
Well, thank you.
And I know I got a few chances to meet you when I was young at this tournament, mm-hmm. actually, with my dad. But I admire your career. So, you know, like, my post-playing career, I'm taking a lot of shit right now.
Well,
as you mentioned earlier, with my quarterback rankings.
Well, listen, my mentor.
Right.
You know, when I got in this business, my mentor was Dick Ebersole.
Right.
We were talking. He says, Charles, you ever thought of what you're going to do when you retire? I says, I don't know. I don't have any idea. He says, well, you're the most honest athlete I ever met. You're a straight shooter. He said, I think you'll be great on TV. He says, there's only problem is you're always going to be in trouble.
Right.
And I says, what does that mean? He says, people don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah.
They want you to tell you their team is the best.
Right.
Their favorite player got no flaws.
Right.
And I started laughing about that because being truthful, and I think my obligation, and you know that, is to the fans at home.
Yep.
To be a straight shooter.
That's right.
But you're going to get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But I can live with it.
I can too. I know. Yeah, I mean, but you're different than me. Like, I get off of social media sometimes because I'm like, man, I want to fight.
See,
these.
I don't do any social media.
So you don't even deal
Nothing.
With it either.
Zero.
So, okay, good. I'm glad to hear we're in the same boat.
No, I don't
that
crap. Do, like, I mean, I do zero.
Right.
Because, like I say, fans want you to tell them their team is great.
Yep.
And you cannot say anything about their favorite player.
Right.
And that's going to bring, I think they call it trolls. So I decided to get that aspect out of my life.
I hear you.
Because you're going to always have people who disagree with your opinion.
Yep. So how do you deal with coaches when you see them, players that you've said something negative
about?
They
call me all the time.
Right.
I tell them why I said it.
Right.
Like, But I get mad because they never call me when I give them a compliment.
Yeah, I hear that's what bothers me.
That's the thing
me.
That drives me crazy.
Right, right. I say it to my coach friends all the time because I have a few that don't talk friendly to me anymore.
No. Like, yo, man, first of all, I got to do my job.
Yeah.
Like, that's first and foremost.
Right.
But you never call me when I say positive yeah. stuff. That's yeah. what the thing that drives me the crazy is.
Yep. NBA right now, I mean, I'm a huge NBA fan. Mm-hmm. I love watching you. I mean, it's the best pregame halftime show there is. I mean,
thank
Shaq's
you.
Gonna kick your ass soon. I'm just telling
it's just
you
a matter of time. Is it my fault he's got thin skin?
I mean, it is thin.
You know, he's a guy, he can dish it out, but he can't take it.
It doesn't seem like
you
it.
You know, I tell people, he got flatter skin than flat Stanley. You can't dish it out and not be able to take it.
So, NBA right now, just the way you see it all unfold. First of all, who's the best player in the NBA now? I mean, I think LeBron, he's not the best. Am I wrong in that? And I love LeBron. I'm wearing LeBron's on right now.
Well, I think you got a legit argument. Well, KD was in the conversation before he blew out his Achilles.
Right.
You got Giannis, Kawhi,
yeah.
and LeBron.
Yeah.
I think you got a good argument for all three of them, and you would have had another one for four if KD didn't blow out his AC. His Achilles.
And do you think Steph's on the verge of that conversation too, or just on the outside of that?
I think he's just on the outside, but yeah. you know, that's just my opinion.
Yeah,
now.
That's right. I know.
I mean, that's probably some people, but he's great. Steph represents everything that's good about the NBA.
Right, right. All right. I mean, I know you. Who's your NFL team? Who's your team?
Well, I root for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Do you really?
You know, because being from Alabama, we don't have a pro team.
Yeah, right.
So, we grew up rooting for the Falcons, because they're the closest.
Yeah.
And then I got to Philadelphia and just became an Eagles fan. And the thing is great. I used to hang out with those guys all the time. Randall Cunningham,
Reggie,
Jerome Brown, yeah. Reggie White. Still play golf with Seth Joyner.
Okay. They used to beat the shit out of my dad.
They used to be hell. I mean, yeah. those guys. They, you know, and my favorite coach all the time is probably Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, I hear you.
And that was just so he was just trying to maul people. I loved that.
Right. NFL-wise, like, I know you're always into the, you know, the rules, things like that. Like, if you could be commissioner for one day, anything you'd fucking change about football right now? Anything bother you about the sport?
Well, I think you got to really be careful when you only protect certain players.
I hear you.
I know the quarterbacks are important and significant.
Right.
But when you put one player's safety over other players, that's not really fair.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, you're already paying them the most money.
Yeah.
But then you can't baby them if you fall at their legs
yeah,
or hit
right.
them hard. You know, that's the one thing I think you got to really be careful.
Yeah.
You can't have a double standard for the players.
Right. I hear you. All right, go ahead. Hit your shot.
Okay.
Do what you got to do, and we'll continue. Did you always cross grip like that?
No.
So that's a new thing?
Yeah.
And you like it?
I didn't say that. Oh, I pulled it. God damn it,
bounce,
Charles.
Bounce right.
It's going to be all right. Come on.
Oh. Oh. Damn. I think we got to go 5,000-1 to 4,000-1 now.
I got away with that.
Silky smooth.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Did you ever think like your post-playing career would almost rival? I mean, are you more famous now than you were in the Dream Team? I mean, what do you think?
Well, there was nothing to ever compare to the Dream Team.
Yeah,
but
I'll
tell you what's really funny. I meet these kids today. You know, I played for 16 years.
Yeah.
I've been on television for 19 years.
Right.
It's so funny when these little kids come up to me and they're like, you played in the NBA? Because they only know me from television.
I told them before yeah. we went on, I had to show my little boy who's yeah. about to be 9. I said, oh, you yeah. got let's YouTube and watch Charles Barkley
it's
right now.
It's hilarious. They're like, no. I said, you know, I actually used to be a good player, a great player, but it's funny though. It is so humbling and so lucky.
Yeah.
I might go my whole life without working. I'm so lucky for basketball. Basketball has given me everything in my life. It gave me a great life for my family. You know, my mom and grandmother when they were alive. And then you think about now I'm on TV talking about it for 19 years, longer than I played.
Yeah.
So, man, I love basketball for that. It's given me everything in my life,
yeah.
plain and simple.
You're happy with the state of the NBA? Like, what do you think about some of these new signings and stuff? Like,
well,
who do you
I was concerned about the super team thing.
Yeah, right.
We can't ruin all the small market teams.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting in the next CBA because these small-time owners, they're going to want some relief.
Yeah.
You can't have useless teams in cities.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, all these guys want to be friends and play together. I'm not sure they're looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody in L.A. is excited about Kawhi, but we ruined Oklahoma City and Toronto.
Right.
So it's kind of, wait, we got one good team and we're going to lose two other teams.
Yeah.
That's not a good business model. So I think the players got to be careful, and I think they're going to get locked out in the next CBA because these small markets can't compete.
Yeah, it's not fair. I'm with you there. I mean, I love watching good NBA basketball, and you're right. It seems like it's a
It's small markets. Heavy. Yeah, it's top heavy. Yeah. And like I say, and it would have been – I give Kawhi a lot of credit, who I admire and respect. If he had went to the Lakers, it would have been a wrap.
Oh, like you're saying, they're winning it.
Yeah, it would have been a wrap.
Right. Now what do you say, though? Who would you say just from the moves and everything?
Too early.
Yeah.
Because you got to wait. You got a couple things. You look at, number one, let's take the Lakers. You got to see if LeBron and AD both can stay healthy.
Yeah, right.
That's important.
Right.
LeBron's getting older, and Anthony has not played a whole season ever.
Yeah.
You look at Kawhi, who's terrific. You know, he missed 22 games last year. That's not going to work in the West.
Yeah, right.
So you can't miss 22 games in the West. That's a different animal.
We saw it with LeBron.
That's enough. That's exactly right.
Right.
So I can't pick a winner. I love Philly in the East.
Yeah, okay.
But Utah got better. Dallas got better. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
I'll be right back.
Yeah, go ahead. Knock it down. I'm good luck. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, okay.
I walked with Aaron Rodgers. You got an eagle and a birdie, and I'm fucking with you, and you're going to get a birdie, too.
We don't know that yet.
Well, damn, make me look good. Shit.
God damn it.
What the fuck?
Hey, brother. Listen. Did you? See, I was distracted by the TV interview.
Hey, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Round mount of rebound.
Keep doing your thing,
I love you. Thanks,
keep doing your thing.
I appreciate it. I won't piss off too many quarterbacks.
Definitely.
Or maybe I will.
Wait. Thanks, Jeff. All right, man. Thanks, man. Hey, keep doing your thing.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate you.
Thanks for giving thanks for giving us Adam.
Charles Barkley. Man, Charles Barkley is one of those guys, first off, a huge human being. I don't know if people realize how big the guy is. Second of all, I know there's a generation out there, like we talked about a little in the interview, people know Charles Barkley more from his mouth and his studio work than they do from his playing career. I recently had to tell my little boy, you know, he saw Charles Barkley on TV. He goes, oh, man, look at Charles Barkley. I said, have you ever watched Charles Barkley play basketball? Phillip's my little boy. I said, man, Charles Barkley was awesome. One of the 50 greatest players of all time. Special athlete. And you want to talk about the all legs and ass team? Man, Charles Barkley's ass is an all-timer. I honestly think Charles Barkley could have been a Hall of Fame left tackle if he wanted to in the NFL. If he just decided, okay, I'm going to play football with his long arms, his size, he certainly has no problem eating. So I think he played in the NBA during his career. He was always somewhere between 260, 280 pounds. So if you just gave him the free rein to eat, he could have been 315, 320, no problem, with great feet, long arms, big butt, ability to anchor against the power rush. I think Charles Barkley could have been a Hall of Fame left tackle just by looking at his physical attributes. But I hope everybody enjoyed that. And big thanks to Chuck. Truly one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Always a smile. It's always been that way from the day I met him since I was a little kid. I got mad respect for Charles Barkley. Thank you for that. Now, I got David Wells coming. David Wells, my man, a buddy of mine from back in the day when he was with the Yankees. I was starting out my NFL career. We used to party at some of the same places. We had a buddy who threw parties all over New York City, so we ended up in those same places a lot, getting in some trouble, or at least hiding so we didn't get in trouble. But here is David Wells, one of my favorite pitchers in Yankee history. My guy right here, okay? David Wells, ex-pitcher for the New York Yankees and a bunch of other teams, but I don't really care about them. You know I'm diehard Yankees.
I hear
okay?
you.
Yeah,
you're
okay with that?
Yeah.
All right.
Eight other ones.
Was it eight?
Nine teams total.
Holy crap.
Three of them twice.
So. I mean, so just
that's
to
longevity.
Just to peel back the curtain a little bit with me and David Wells, my early days in the NFL, we had a common friend in New York City, and we used to have a lot of fun together at some nightclubs. And I'll never forget our first night together. You okay with me telling them this?
I don't mind at all.
You don't mind? Okay, good.
Just spell my name right.
Yeah. We can do that. First night I'm ever with him, we were at
what was it called?
Veruca. Noel. Our boy Noel.
Our boy Noel Ashman.
Yeah.
And we met and we started having some drinks and smoking some certain substances. And we had a blast. But we go all night long. And it's one of those places where it's New York City. We walk out at like 4:45 in the morning. This guy got a limo to pick him up, and he was going to do Good Morning America after. And I didn't watch your interview, just so you know.
I killed it.
You killed it?
I killed
it. I'm real shocked by that one.
You spray yourself down with some cologne, some gum, you're good to go.
Was your Yankee team of that era like that? Were they kind of like play hard, party hard in general without calling anybody out or anything
No, you picked your spots. Yeah. You know, you did that. We had our group of guys that we held our own. The other guys would, go in, get their good night's sleep. But we just had one filter. We'd always do it. It worked. It was good chemistry. So, you burn out after a while. You have to take a couple days off.
I bet.
But no, it was just the time of our era that we did, and it worked. But to me, you don't condone it. You don't want kids going out there and partying because there's just too much money to be made. The game.
Right.
You want the integrity of the game,
of course,
to stay the same. But we just learned from our peers from the 70s. In the 80s, guys.
Yeah, right. It's a different way.
Oh, yeah. So, but now they've really calmed it down, and with all the analytics and stuff, and so much money out there, these guys are, they're in the gym at 6 a.m.
Right.
They're usually going in the gym when I'm coming home, but that was back then. So, but now I like to sleep a lot, so I get all my sleep now.
Okay, that's good. Who's your favorite football team?
Now?
You got a favorite? Yeah.
Now the Redskins.
The Redskins are
in this one? The Chargers and the Redskins were there. I adopted the Redskins in 72.
Okay.
And then when the Chargers bell, I burned all my stuff, piss on the Chargers, can kiss my butt. They left us hanging down there in San Diego.
This is why we interviewed this guy right here.
So I just, I'm a fan of the game, but if I'm going to root, I'm going to go with the Redskins.
Redskins, okay. You got a player that, is your guy? Like, I'm a can't-miss Aaron Rodgers kind of guy. Like, if he's on TV, I'm like, damn, I got to watch Aaron Rodgers. You got any quarterback or player that's
my guys are gone. There's no lefties in the league.
We're dead.
We're dead. We're a dying breed.
We truly are
a dead breed. But, I was a Stabler and Zorn, and, I love those guys.
Yeah.
Joe Theismann I loved watching with Sonny Jurgensen back then. Art Monk was my favorite wide receiver.
Okay.
J.J. Jefferson was with the Chargers, then went to Green Bay.
Right.
But I'm a fan. I root for the Redskins, and that's about it.
It's a special
I
franchise.
I don't follow it a whole lot, but I root for them.
Yeah,
if I'm gonna
adopt
them, I'm going to wear it.
I get you. All right, so I'm doing a thing like anonymous locker room stories, okay, where I've told some stories on the pod about just some crazy shit that's gone on. And you don't have to bring names up, but is there any story that in your career just that went on in the locker room? I've told a story about a guy that poured a hot bowl of soup on a guy because he kept pranking him, and they finally fought in the middle of the locker room. That's one of the ones I always go to. You have a jumping off spot.
Well, we had two guys in spring training that were all the pitchers were lined up on one wall.
Right.
And one of them kind of messed with them, so what he did is he took a crap in his shoe. Well, the retaliation was he took a crap in his shoe and put it in the shoe box, and then took his car key and put it inside the feces.
Oh my gosh.
And then they just started throwing shit at each other, and it was pretty epic. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in a clubhouse because it just turned into a shit show.
Literally.
Yes,
it did. Right. I can't even figure out how you in a shoe.
You take it in the bathroom and there you go, you crown it out.
Damn, I hope Honey has the new set of car keys somewhere.
Oh yeah, and it was a nice Mercedes too, so that was the thing.
All right, so I'm just interested in, I don't even know the answer. It's like baseball, do you root for any of the teams?
I root for the Padres because I'm a San Diego guy, and I root for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Because I spend a lot of time there. But, I'm still a baseball fan. I like to watch the matchups with the guys. There's a lot of eyewash that I see that's going on in the game. I'm not as big as a fan as I used to be with all. I understand the analytics of the game.
Yeah.
A lot of it is really good, but a lot of it is you got to let these guys play.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't like a computer telling me how good I'm going to be or what I should do. The spin velocity, the exit velocity, the spin rate, and all that stuff. It's been there since time. But to me, you still got to understand it. And a lot of it I do understand. I think it's good, but, not – don't go full force with it. You guys got to play.
Yeah, there's more to it than numbers and all that crap. Yeah. I hear you. It's happening in football, too.
Yeah.
You know, all right. Any guys, like, out here, you ever get nervous? I mean, I know you're Joe Cool always, but is there any, like, stars you've ever seen out here where you're like, damn, that's that guy? Or do you just...
Well, you know, Jeremy Roenick's my guy, and I play a lot of golf with him, and this guy just...
But you like him. He doesn't make you nervous.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. But really not anybody really makes me nervous. I've never had the opportunity 13 years here to play with, like, the big boys.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like, I played with Madonna, and that guy is just a stick.
He's
awesome. Yeah. But he's just a great guy.
Right.
But getting nervous-wise, no.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
Maybe they're nervous playing with me because they don't know what the hell's going to happen
next.
Well,
that could be really f-ing true. I can tell you never know what's going to happen with this guy. Best pitcher in baseball right now. Who's like your guy? I love Max Scherzer. I'll just throw that one out there.
I'm right with you. Him, and I love Verlander.
Yeah.
I love the way he pitches.
Right.
He's a gritty guy. He goes out there. CC's an old school guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to become one of the back of the day guys, so. But yeah, I just, you know, I like the guys that go out there and they grit it out, and you know every time they take the mound, they got a chance to win
the game.
Yeah, so yeah. That's to me, and they don't have that. They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They just come right out and say, here you go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, knock you on your ass and stare you down and see what happens next.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah. You the man. Here I am. You. See ya. You the man. David Wells, my favorite. My party partner.
There we are. Yeah, we got to tame it down now.
Yeah, we do.
Take 3 days to get out of bed going, oh, man.
I'm serious.
There you have it. David Wells. What an awesome dude. Really appreciate him taking the time to answer a few questions. And at one point, I'm going to get him on a full podcast because we got enough stories to go around. And I got enough crazy things that I'd like to ask him because I know he's got more crazy stories than maybe anybody around. I mean, David Wells is an all-timer. I had such a blast with him back in the days. Like I said, in my early NFL career days, him pitching for the New York Yankees, but just a great all-around dude, and man, he could play some baseball too. But big thanks to David Wells, big thanks to Steph Curry and Charles Barkley. Really appreciate them taking the time to hang out with me, answer a few questions. Great dudes all around. And hey, next week we got more coming. I got a Tony Romo interview that we're gonna drop. Travis Kelce's gonna be coming out as well. Had a great time with those guys. Hey, everybody out there, have a good weekend. Have fun. Be safe. Don't do anything too stupid, okay? Let's not get hurt. Let's not get in trouble. You know where to find me, at SimsUnButton on Instagram, at CSimsQB on Twitter. Hope everybody's good out there. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Peace out, fuckers. Talk to you soon. See ya.
Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.